Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the end, only one thing will matter, whether you, as a believer, were an overcomer. Jesus makes that clear as he analyzes seven local churches in the book of Revelation. Overcomers will be given white garments because Jesus will say they are worthy. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues an 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Sardis and about those who will one day walk with him in white.
He says that they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And where does their worthiness come from? They're worthy because they have the right garment. There's no worthiness in the Bible of human beings that is a worthiness that separates us from the grace of God. It is always grace that makes us worthy. But now look, three promises. First of all, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. And that garment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, credited to us because Jesus died for sinners. And you see, when we go there, that's why we sing, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne, because we stand in his righteousness and we've got the right robes. But also, we don't soil those robes. We don't take them for granted. We don't say, well, now that I'm a Christian, I can live however I want to live, because we don't want to be soiled, as the other figure of speech would indicate. So we are given white robes. And that's what makes us worthy to be in God's presence. I've said it 100 times. I hope to say it at least 300 times before I die. That's why Jesus is the only possible way to heaven. Nobody else out there has righteousness to credit to us that God will accept. That takes care of all those arguments that take place in university. Well, what's wrong with this person or this religion? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. They don't have the righteousness to give you so that you can get to heaven. That's one thing that's wrong, and it's the major thing that's wrong. And now we can move on. Am I alone up here today, or is anybody else out there? And then he says, I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. Oh, that stopped many people. Is there a possibility of having our names blotted out of the book of life? Very quickly, in the Old Testament particularly, there's reference to the book of life, which is really the book of the living. When Moses said, either forgive these people or blot out my name from the book of life, he means the book of the living. He means kill me, but forgive these people. By the way, think of the devotion that Moses had. He was willing to say, kill me, blot my name out of the book. It had to do with the register, the town register. When somebody died, you erased their name. That's what David had in mind, I think, in Psalm 68 when he said, blot out the wicked from the book of life. He's talking about the fact that these wicked people ought to die and God ought to take care of them. But when you get to the book of Revelation, what you find is now we're in talking about a different book. We're talking about a book that is really the book of life, elsewhere called the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a book of not just those who are physically alive, but spiritually alive, who've actually been born again. So the question is, can a name be blotted out from that book? That's the question. And some people on this basis and others have said that that means that a genuinely saved person can eventually be lost. And I suppose if you held that, this would be one text that you'd like to use. Let's think about that a little bit. A lot of ink has been spilled discussing this phrase, so I shall summarize very briefly. It is interesting that in chapter 13 of Revelation, verse 9, it says this, all who dwell upon the face of the earth shall worship the beast, except those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. It's the book of the elect. If you believe in Jesus, your name was written in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world. And some people think the world's been around a long time. Wow. Oh, you say, well, you know, that's not fair. But, you know, the motor voters, but. At the end of this message, I'll tell you how you can find out whether your name is there. So don't complain too much. Okay, you can know whether your name is there, but I'm ahead of the story. Are you telling me that someone whose name has been in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world is going to be erased within God's purposes? I don't think so. I don't think so. You'll notice that this promise does not say, I will erase his name from the Book of Life. This is a promise that he will not do it. Nowhere do you ever read, I will blot out his name. It's a promise to the faithful. Hey, look, you're faithful. You're going through a hard time. My promise to you is, I won't blot your name out of the book of life. When you stand before me, all is going to be very well. Thank you. And so what we have is three promises, the white garments, the book of life. And then he says, I will confess his name. Do you notice there? Name. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I mean, I don't know what this is going to be like, but imagine now, and I'll use myself as an example. I could choose anyone else whose name I know here, but I might as well pick on myself. Imagine being in the presence of the Father, and you have all of the holy angels. And then Jesus says to the Father, this is Erwin Lutzer. Can you even take that into your spirit? But I will confess his name to the Father. Elsewhere, Jesus says that if you're ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation. You know, those of you businessmen, nobody knows that you're a Christian because you're ashamed. I will be ashamed of him when my Father comes. When I come, he says, with the holy angels. Wow. But he says, I will confess his name before my Father and before the holy angels. Nothing is private in heaven. This is not some little thing done off in a corner. The hosts of heaven are there, and they're watching, and they are amazed at God's infinite grace. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is this, that when God sees you, he doesn't see all the good things that you do. He sees your heart. That's what he's after. And you know, those of you who have never received Christ as Savior, but people think you have because you're such a nice person, but you've never really been born again, that day will declare it, I'll tell you. In fact, Jesus said that some people who did many miracles in my name, and in my name cast out demons and did the miracles, I'm going to slam the door of heaven in their faces and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they're going to say, iniquity, we served you. We preached in your name. We went to church in your name. We sang hymns in your name. We affirmed things in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you. I'm sorry. But you know what? You have a reputation that you're alive, but you are dead. You are never regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So I have to ask you a question today. Let's suppose that this isn't a large congregation as it is. But let us suppose that you and I were having tea together, and I looked you in the eye, you were 2 feet from me, and asked you, have you been born of the Spirit? Are you saved? Don't tell me the things that you've done. Are you saved? That's a good question, because that's a biblical question. There was a $20 bill, bought some groceries. Eventually, it cycled around and turned out in the life of a woman who used it to buy medicine for her sick child, but in the end was disqualified because it's counterfeit. Fact is that you and I can do work and we can have the reputation that is sterling and inside be dead. I've known people who've assumed that they are Christians because they were brought up in a Christian home, they go to a Christian church, they sing Christian songs, but the reality is not there. And who are we looking at? We're looking at the Jesus about whom it says, "I am the one that searches the hearts." That's what the text says. The one who sees the hearts. That's who we're dealing with. This is a Jesus thing. Jesus' word to me and Jesus' word to you. Let us pray. Father, where do we go with this? What do we do in light of the fact that you have spoken? I think of the many people who are here today. We have a wonderful, large congregation, and I think of you going up and down the aisles and across the various places. I think of the many hundreds who are listening to this and seeing it on the internet around the world. And you're checking hearts, and you know who we really are, who we really are. I pray that those who have never trusted Christ as Savior may do so right now. May they say, "Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I have sinned. I am a sinner. I'm spiritually dead, but at this moment, I trust Jesus to give me life, to forgive me, to make me a new person." Would you pray that prayer right where you are right now? And then, Father, we pray for those of us who do know you as Savior. We discover that our names are written in the book of life when we come to Christ by faith and receive him and know that we have been received, and we know that our names are in your book. We pray that all, Father, to whom you have spoken may know that, and for those of us who do know you already, may we wake up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and it is indeed sobering, isn't it? To think that there are people who profess salvation, they think that they might even be saved, but aren't. So as we've talked about reality today and Jesus Christ's ability to perceive it, I encourage you to take a moment and to ask this simple question: am I truly born again? And if not, if you believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he did all that ever will be necessary for you to receive Christ, and then you embrace that for yourself and you trust that for yourself, you will be saved. And the assurance will come because it no longer depends upon your performance, but his performance. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how you can receive these messages so that they continue to bless you and to bless your friends. I'll see you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up When Jesus Observes Our Reality, another message on what Jesus thinks of his church. Next time, words of commendation for the faithful church at ancient Philadelphia. What Jesus Thinks of His Church is an 8-part series we'd like to send you on CD. It's our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.